So a few minutes ago, we watched a video of highlights of the Sierra Leone trip, and it was great. In the spirit of that, I'd like for you to imagine putting together a video of highlights of your life. What would you put in that kind of video? Now, some of you are thinking, Wes, I've only been on the planet for like 15 years, so it's going to be really short. Others of you are saying, I've been here for 80 years. I got a lot of stuff to talk about, so pop some popcorn, get comfortable. This is going to be a while. I wonder if you need a little context for what I'd like you to put in the video. Let me tell you. I'd love for you to think about a video that talks about not just the big birthday parties and the big gifts and the finishing first and the 100-meter dash. Think beyond that a little bit. I'd love for you to think about what were the moments of your life when you had the most significant impact on others? What were the moments when your influence was the most significant? I wonder if you would discover, like many people do, that those moments were not necessarily planned. Those moments weren't necessarily when you were being celebrated for some great accomplishment. The moments when we have the most significant impact, the most positive impact on others, are often unplanned moments. They are often times of challenge and difficulty, things that we wouldn't necessarily choose if we were getting to choose what's in our life. But in those moments of challenge, in those moments of struggle, we discover that as we honor God in those moments, our influence and impact on others is expanded in ways that we never thought possible. We've been learning this truth from a guy by the name of Daniel. He was an incredible man of influence. In fact, some would argue that Daniel from the Old Testament is one of the most influential men that has ever walked this planet. Daniel was a guy who probably wouldn't have chosen some of the moments that he tells us about in his book called Daniel in the Old Testament. But now as an old man, he's looking back on his life, and when he talks about the big moments of his existence, of his influence, we discover that his influence was multiplied in amazing ways when he was faithful during times of challenge and struggle. Think about this. Daniel would probably have never chosen to have been a prisoner of war. I mean, who chooses that? Daniel probably wouldn't have chosen to have lived the rest of his life after the age of about 16 as an immigrant in a foreign land. He, as far as we know, never got to go home again. Daniel probably would have never imagined that one day he would stand in the palace of a king and be elevated to a place of honor and leadership. He certainly wouldn't have imagined it in Babylon, maybe back in Israel. Daniel probably never imagined that there would be a day when he would actually get thrown into a den of hungry lions because he refused to compromise his faith. Daniel wouldn't have imagined being placed in a role of leadership in a pagan government and actually becoming one of the most powerful men in the world. Daniel would have never imagined those things, and he probably wouldn't have chosen them if he would have been given a whole list of options. But Daniel discovered, as we discover, that in those moments of tension, of struggle, of challenge, of trial, it's in those moments that our influence is the most significant on the people around us. Daniel's life is amazing. He influences four pagan administrations of the Babylonian Empire, and he does it in such a unique way. If you have your Bible and you want to find the book of Daniel or open up your app on your phone, find the book of Daniel, there's a couple of points that I'd love to throw out to you this morning, points of Scripture that kind of show us how Daniel lives in times of struggle and challenge, and how in those moments of tension, his influence is multiplied. In Daniel chapter 2, there's the amazing story of the king Nebuchadnezzar having a dream. And we already talked about the dream a little bit a few weeks ago, so we're not going to talk about that much right now. But some of you might remember that the king is torqued off because he believed God is trying to speak to him through the dream, and his advisors can't tell him what it means. And so rather than even consulting all of the advisors because a few of them can't get it right, the king is torqued off. And he says that all of the advisors are going to be killed, every single one of them. And if you look in Daniel chapter 2, it's such a powerful passage of Scripture because here the king's guards are coming, the commander of the king's guards, I should say, verse 14, are coming to kill all of the advisors. And Daniel handles the situation, it says, Daniel chapter 2, verse 14, with wisdom and discretion. And he asked the king, or the commander of the king's guards, why is the king commanded to do this? And will you give us more time? Will you go back to the king and tell him, we'll pray about this and we'll see if our God might tell us the answer? And he goes back to the rest of his friends. They all pray about it. God gives them the answer to the king's dream, and they're all saved. But think about it. Somebody knocks on Daniel's door that day and says, I'm here to kill you. And Daniel handles the situation with wisdom and discretion. If you flip a few pages over in your Bible or scroll down a little bit to Daniel chapter 6, you discover in Daniel 6 that he's being confronted with a den of lions if he doesn't compromise his beliefs and worship the king. Katie unpacked this for us beautifully last week, and we are reminded in the middle of this moment where Daniel is being confronted with, you'll compromise your beliefs or you'll get killed. Daniel, it says in chapter 6 and verse 4, that he's faithful, that he's always responsible, and he's completely trustworthy. And the entire kingdom takes notice of Daniel because of those qualities in his life, and they are exhibited most significantly in times of tension, in times of struggle. So I think Daniel is reminding all of us by his life that when we face tension, when we find ourselves trying to figure out how to live in those difficult, challenging moments, when life is not going the way we thought, when we would not be choosing this if we were in charge, but we find ourselves here in this moment, the way we live at those times is the most significant moment of influence in our life. Let's just say it this way. In the tension, we discover our influence is the strongest. In those moments where you and I would say, I would prefer anything but this. I would never choose to go through this. I would never choose this moment. I would never choose this hurt or this pain or this struggle. I would never knowingly choose this, but it's in those moments where God can use our influence the most significantly. For Daniel, there were big moments for sure. We've mentioned some of them already. There was the whole issue of food, what was right to eat and what was wrong to eat. There was the whole issue of the furnace and who's going to be worshipped, and am I going to worship an idol of the king or wind up getting thrown into the furnace? There were those big moments. There was the lion's den, big moments. But for Daniel, there was also the routine moments of life where he winds up living every day in a pagan palace. And he has to face the kind of temptation and the challenges that he would have faced every single day in that pagan palace. There's the everyday culture of Babylon, one of the most wicked cultures the world has ever known. And Daniel faces that every single day. But Daniel discovers that his influence is highest, not when he ignores the challenge or runs away from it, but when he actually embraces the tension and stands firm and loves well. And in those moments, God is able to use him in an amazing way. How? Why? The secret of Daniel's influence is not in what he says, it's how he lives. And that's the secret of our influence as well. The secret of our influence and our impact on people around us is not just what we say, it's how we live. We know that we live in a world where people can say pretty much anything they want, and almost no accountability. You can get on social media and you can say whatever you want to say. Daniel wasn't into just saying stuff. He was into honoring God with every part of his life. And as people realized that what Daniel said and the way Daniel lived actually worked together and actually were in concert, when they realized that, he had significant impact on the people around him. And it's true for us today. People don't just want to know what we can say. They want to know how we live. Does this belief that they ascribe to, does this stuff that they say they are building their life on, does it actually affect their life? Our influence is strongest in moments of tension. And in that moment of tension, it's not just about what we say, it's about how we live. Lifeway Research did a study in April of this year, 2019, and they asked people who had no church or faith connection. So they were people who were disconnected from faith, disconnected from church. They asked them, what would make you most open to somebody who's a Christ follower inviting you to church or even having a spiritual conversation with you? What would make you most open to that? Their first two responses, or the top two responses, are very insightful, and they go right along with this thought today. When they were asked, people said, first of all, if people's faith made a difference in how they treated each other, it actually made them more kind. If it actually makes them more loving, I would be more interested in listening to what somebody says about faith. And the second was simply this: when someone's faith actually makes them have compassion on the needs of others. Notice nowhere in there is it, I was impressed and wanted to hear about somebody's faith journey because they recited the Ten Commandments. Not in there. Nowhere in here does it say, I was interested and wanted to hear about somebody's faith journey because they had the books of the Bible memorized. It's not in here. Now, there's nothing wrong with those things, but it's not just about what we say, it's about how we live. Faith in action, faith and belief expressed in everyday life, and that has a powerful influence. Memorizing stuff is not bad, it's good, but that's not life-changing. What opens somebody's heart to hearing about what Jesus has done for us is our compassion and the way we treat others and the fact that our faith actually has made an impact in that area of our life. Can I just tell you that faith that is disconnected from real life is lifeless, and it's ultimately worthless. Jesus came to earth not just so we could memorize stuff. He came to die on the cross to forgive us of our sin and to give us a purpose and direction and meaning in this life, and to give us hope for forever. Jesus came to make a difference every single day in our real world. And our faith, our influence, goes to a whole new level when people realize we're not just saying a bunch of stuff. We're not just showing up at church on a weekend and then doing whatever we want to do the rest of the week, and that weekend has no impact on the rest of our week. No, we are actually affected by this every single moment, every single day. I'm afraid that some of us treat our faith like our luggage. Have you been into an airport recently? Val travels a ton for her job, and I get to travel occasionally in our job, sometimes representing our denomination at different events. And I was in San Diego just a couple of weeks ago and was going through the airport, and this is my handy-dandy carry-on that I always take with me. This baby has been all around the world. And when you take a carry-on, you know that you are carrying this thing with you wherever you go. And why? Because what's in there is not something that you need in the airport, but eventually you're going to need the stuff in there, right? That's why you got it with you. Eventually, you're going to need the stuff. I think there's a lot of people in our world today who treat their faith like luggage. It's just with them, but it's just kind of trailing behind. And if they happen to need it, it's there. But it's not really a part of their everyday life. It's just kind of something to carry along on the journey. Jesus didn't come to be carry-on luggage. Jesus came to be the foundation of our life and our heart. Jesus came to make a difference in every single area. And he wants us not to be people who treat faith and truth and his grace and mercy like something that's just an add-on. And if we get in trouble, then we'll pull it out. Then we can open it up and take it out. No, it's a part of everything that we do. It's a part of our entire life. Always, everything is going to be based upon this faith and this truth. And when you and I move from just treating our faith as an add-on extra to actually being the foundation, it makes a difference in our influence. So how do we do that? How do we go from just making it carry on to actually having it be a part of every area of our life, sort of like something that just covers all of our life? How do we do that? Let me give you a few thoughts about that real quickly. We see them in Daniel. We see them in Jesus. And they're very simple, but if you just want to jot them down, I think it's meaningful for us. I discover that living with influence in moments of tension requires an authentic faith. And that's really what we're talking about, that it's not just words, but it's our life. It's authentic. And I think authentic faith brings such relief and freedom to us. At least it should. Because I didn't say perfect faith. Daniel's not perfect. The only one who's ever lived on this planet who is perfect is Jesus, and you and I are not him. And so we are not going to be perfect in our faith, but we can be real and genuine and authentic. We see Daniel walking through all sorts of difficulties and challenges. They tested him. We see Jesus walking through all of the different situations of life. Scripture says that Jesus was tempted in everything that you and I are tempted in. It might have looked a little different because the world was different then. But the same core temptations Jesus faced that you and I face every single day. And Jesus was able to deal with that, live through that, and even go to the cross, not carrying his own sin because he didn't give in to temptation, but carrying our sin. Jesus teaches us how to live an authentic faith right here on this planet. Nobody believes that you have perfect faith. So don't act like it. Just be real. Be honest about questions. Be honest about things that you wrestle with and struggle with. And as you are honest and as you are real, people will walk with you in that journey. And people will be much more responsive and receptive to your influence if they know that this is a real human being who's struggling and walking and celebrating and going through all of the stuff that happens in life just like I am. Daniel exhibits not only authentic faith, but he exhibits a genuine love for others. I mean, we talked about it so often in this series where Daniel treats with respect even people who are trying to kill him. He genuinely cared about others. Do you remember when he interpreted the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, and the dream was all about Nebuchadnezzar being thrown from his throne until he could learn to really honor God? And Daniel says, King, I wish this were not about you. King, would you stop doing what you're doing and would you live in a way that honors God and maybe God's judgment will be reversed? I mean, Daniel says, King, I actually care about you. I genuinely want the best for you. And that genuine love for others just flows through Daniel everywhere. And you see it in Jesus constantly exhibited. Jesus showing us how to love people who didn't love him. Some of you are reading the Immerse New Testament with us, and so you've been working through the book of Luke. And in Luke, we have seen Jesus responding to people and how Jesus loved people. And maybe now you're in the book of Acts, or maybe you just finished the book of Acts, and you see in the book of Acts the followers of Jesus loving others. It's an amazing thing how the love of Jesus impacts every single area of our life, and it impacts the way we treat others. In Daniel, you see a genuine love for others and you see a lifestyle of prayer. a lifestyle of prayer. Daniel is constantly praying. He's constantly seeking wisdom from the God. You can go through all of the different events that he lists here, and almost every single time, Daniel says, I sought wisdom from God. I went to the Lord. I asked him. I asked for mercy. Next weekend, we're going to talk about one of the most significant prayers in the entire Bible. It's in Daniel chapter 9, and then we're going to talk about God's response to Daniel in Daniel 10, and I think you're going to find it incredibly encouraging. So I want to encourage you to be here next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about prayer. Daniel exhibits living with grace and truth. He stands firm on the truth, and he extends grace and mercy and love and kindness to the people around him. Daniel says, King, would you stop sinning? He says, there's a right and a wrong thing you ought to be doing here, and you ought to stop sinning. But God's a God of mercy. God's a God of mercy, and if you stop sinning, God would respond. Jesus, to the woman who's dragged out of a home, and we're told she's in the act of committing adultery, and she's dragged in front of a whole bunch of religious leaders who are saying she should be stoned to death because she's lived an immoral life. And Jesus draws in the sand, and we're so familiar with the story. It's in John chapter 8, if you'd like to look at it. Jesus draws in the sand. We don't have any idea what he's drawing in, but when he stands up, he realizes that all of the other people who were condemning her are gone, and Jesus just simply says, woman, where are your accusers? Where are those who are condemning you? And she says, they're no longer here, Lord. And he says, I don't condemn you either. He offers a grace. But then he says, go and sin no more. He offers her truth. Grace and truth. There will always be in our lives when we are facing these moments that tension between how do I offer grace and how do I stand for truth? And Jesus is the perfect example. He offers absolute mercy and grace, but he doesn't compromise. He just offers her the truth as well and says, I'm offering you grace and forgiveness here, and as you go forward, here's the truth in which you need to live. I love 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 13 and 16, and if you have your Bible or have your phone Bible app open there, you might want to flip here. 1 Peter chapter 3, and we've looked at this a time or two before, but I want to throw it out to you again because it's one of the most significant passages in how to live in a really, really challenging world. Peter writing to Christians who are living in Rome, and they are literally being persecuted for their faith. And Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13, 14, 15, 16. He says, don't worry or be afraid of the threats they're making against you. Instead, worship Christ as Lord in your life. So make sure you are standing firm on your faith. It's not carry-on luggage. This is actually what you're building your life on. And then he says, if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to respond, be ready to explain it, and do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Live with grace and live with truth. Be ready to answer the questions. Do it in a respectful, gentle way. Keep your conscience clear. See, what we're called to do and what Daniel does so well for us, what Jesus exhibits for us, is just a final thought I want to give you. We are to offer respect and compassion without endorsing behavior. We offer respect and compassion without endorsing behavior. And it's such a challenge in our world today to figure out how to do that. So many folks in our world today would say, if you can't accept all of my behavioral stuff, then you don't really love me. And we are told throughout Scripture that we can love someone fully and completely without endorsing their behavior. Jesus absolutely loved that woman unconditionally, but he wasn't going to support her in continuing to live an immoral life. Daniel loves the king. He says, King, you can't keep living the way you're going to live and experience God's blessing in your heart and on your life. And you and I face the same challenge. We love people. We love them without endorsing immoral, sinful behavior. And there will always be those that say it's impossible. But you can have compassion without compromising your beliefs. I think there's a lot of people who are ready for God, but they are not ready for a debate. They want to know the truth. They realize there's some spiritual component to their life, but they don't need a debate. They need to see the truth lived out in our lives. I want to throw out one final verse to you, and it's from a very unique book of the Bible. It's only a couple of pages long. It's just before the book of Revelation. It's called the book of Jude. It's actually written by one of Jesus' stepbrothers. This is the actual biological son of Mary and Joseph. Jude, J-U-D-E, just before the book of Revelation. It's only one chapter. Jude is writing to people who are facing incredible cultural chaos. And the book is very interesting. You might want to read it through sometime. But he comes down to the very end, and in verse 22, he gives some very specific instructions. Listen to what he says. You must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to us, still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. So Jude looks around, and he sees in the group of people that he's ministering to, he sees people who are struggling in their faith. They have big questions. They have more questions than maybe they have answers. And I love what Jude says. He doesn't say condemn them. He doesn't say rake them over the coals. He doesn't say bring them up in front of the church and make a fool out of them. No. What does he say? If somebody's struggling or wavering in their faith, show them mercy. Actually have compassion on them because you're not perfect either. You got your own issues, you got your own questions, and so show mercy to people who are struggling. Show mercy to them, help them, walk beside them, have compassion on them. He says, there's other people who you are going to have the opportunity to rescue because they've walked away from their faith and they're heading towards judgment. And he says, you have the opportunity to rescue them, and you do it with mercy. Mercy is the theme all the way through this. And he says there are other people that they may not have rejected the faith completely, but they're involved in stuff they shouldn't be involved in. And he says, you've got to show mercy to them. But you need to understand that there's a tension in that. There's a tension in that. It's easy to endorse behavior that is not right in an attempt to show mercy. And he says, you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. You've got to live in this tension with God's help, and you've got to show mercy and not allow yourself to be drawn into the same stuff and same mess that they're in. Living in the tension is not easy, but living in the tension is where you and I have the greatest influence. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Christ followers like you and me who stand firm and love well so that the world can actually see the hope that we have in Jesus? And they actually do what Peter describes in his letter, where they actually come and they say, you know what, you seem to have hope in a world that seems kind of off the rails sometimes. Why? Why do you have this hope? And we have the opportunity to share it. Imagine Christ followers who are from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, different languages, different economic levels, different educational levels. Imagine believers, Christ followers who come from all of those different areas, and they don't always agree on everything, but they absolutely love God and they love each other. And they figured out a way to love each other in the middle of their differences. Imagine that. Imagine followers of Jesus who actually are able to engage with our culture. People who are wavering in their faith. People who have fully walked away and they're headed towards judgment. Or people who are just confused and they're dabbling in things they shouldn't be dabbling in. They're allowing their lives to be contaminated by the sinful junk. And imagine us being able to engage with all of those people in a way in which we are standing firm on the truth of Jesus, but we are loving unconditionally and loving well, in a way that doesn't drive them away, but in a way that draws them back to Jesus. Imagine. Imagine if we could just, in the middle of the tension, stand firm and love well. Daniel did it through the power of God, and you and I can live that way as well, through the power of God at work in our lives. Because perfection is not required. Just an ability to live a real life based on a faith that is the foundation, not just the carry-on. Would you just bow your heads with me? Let's make it real personal for a moment. We're going to sing a song, but before we do that, I want you just to think about this with me. Where is that tension in your life right now? Where you sense the struggle, you feel the pull. Maybe it's something going on in your own heart, own life, or maybe it's something that has to do with others, and you're trying to figure out, how do I stand firm and live by what I believe, live by God's truth, and how do I love them and embrace them, people who are going the opposite way? And I wonder if you are just willing to say, whether it's something going on in your own heart or whether it's an experience going on in your life, I wonder if you're just willing to say, God, I need your help here. Maybe for some of us, we need to make a decision that we're going to quit using faith as a crutch. It's going to be something that's no longer just trailing behind us as we go through life. We're going to make this an integral part of every area. We're going to build our life on this, every area. Maybe God has placed a person in our life who really challenges us, because they're involved in things that are pulling them away from what's good and what's true and what's right. And God's calling us to love them unconditionally, but to also stand firm. And God, we need wisdom today to know how to do that. I wonder if you're willing just to say, God, with all of these issues of my heart and my life, these people around me, the culture in which I live, God, I need your help. I need you. I need you to live in this tension well. Let's bring all of these things to the Lord today, and we're going to do it in a song and a closing prayer. Would you stand with us?